In a world where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello. Nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
I'm here finally after many years of trying with Ron Van Cleef. We met years and years ago.
Decades ago.
Where did we meet? Do you remember? I don't. My beard is too long.
One of the film festivals, I believe.
Was it at the Museum of the Moving Image?
Yes. At Warrington Hudlands.
Warrington Hudlands. Yes. I could not. I looked across the room and there you were. The man. Start. Tell the listeners who you are.
Well, I'm Ron Van Cleef. I was one of the first foreigners to go to Hong Kong to make kung fu movies back in the early 70s, 1973. Made a series of films as a character, The Black Dragon. I made 10 of those. And worked in over 300 films. I've been in SAG since 1966.
How?
Started on Kojak.
Oh my gosh!
As a stuntman,
now you look like the African American Kojak now. Awesome. How did that start? How did you get from where you were to Hong Kong?
I was a stuntman with the East Coast Stuntmen's Association, Alex Stevens and Harry Madsen.
And how old were you then?
I was 26.
And how did you get into this? Why did you want to do stunting?
Actually, Harry Madsen came to me. And he said they needed some martial arts choreographer, and that's how I started.
But why did he come to you? Were you already famous?
He was one of my students.
Oh, he's one of your students. So let's go all the way back. When did you start getting interested in martial arts?
I started martial arts in 1958 in Brooklyn, New York, under Moses Powell.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ronald Duncan and George Cofield, they were training at a place called the St. John's Community Center. And that's where I started. And then I met Sensei Urban in 1959.
And so many people I know started because they were bullied as kids or they were beaten up. So the same thing happened to you? Or
well, Little John beat me up. You know Little John Davis?
No, I don't know Little John Davis.
He's Moses Powell's number one.
Oh,
he gave me a beating while I was in high school, and that's how I got to martial arts.
Because he didn't like the way you looked?
No, we had, you
or
know,
that's the way he got people into martial arts?
Young guys in Brooklyn were quite aggressive in school in those days, and he said something to me, I said something back. He said, let's go behind the school, in the schoolyard, and he gave me a good thrashing.
Yeah.
And I said, what is that? Because he swept me and took me down. I said, what is this? He says, jiu-jitsu. And he said, meet me at the St. John's Community Center the next day, and that was it. I've been on that road ever since.
Right, yeah. There you go, perfect. Yeah. And so you took to it? It
wonderful. I was a gymnast, and so that really just helped me in regard to jiu-jitsu because I had natural strength and endurance and stamina and stuff like that.
You know, you're saying this stuff like it's just normal, but I'm learning all these amazing new things. You were a gymnast.
Yes.
And when did you start being a gymnast?
I was a gymnast at Boys High School in Brooklyn. I was part of the leader corps.
Uh-huh.
My specialties were high bar, parallel bars, rings.
You just took to it?
Yeah.
Some people take to music, and you took to physical stuff. Anything to express yourself. With your body.
I started doing bodybuilding. Dan Lurie was my mentor. Do you remember Dan Lurie? He really helped me when I was a teenager.
Oh, my.
I mean, by the time I was 17, I was already doing 200 push-ups.
You're still doing it. I see your Facebook and your Instagram, and it's like...
What I try to do is stay active. I know that I'm 74, but I'm not dead yet.
No, not
and,
close.
And I go to the gym 4 days a week. I do weights and TRX, but I go to jiu-jitsu 3 nights a week at Helson Gracie School in Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I get a chance to roll 6 to 8 rounds per night with guys 30 and 40 years younger than me. So it really gives me the motivation and inspiration to keep going because those guys give me no break. You know, they don't care what I was in karate or kung fu. They just...
How do you maintain your joints? How do you, a lot of 74-year-olds that I know, they started because of all the jiu-jitsu and the degenerative, destructive martial arts, they start losing their yeah. stuff. How do you but maintain your
what,
stuff?
What happened with me is I did kickboxing and karate very, very actively until I was 60. I won the All-American Championship at Madison Square Garden at Henry Cho's when I was 60 in free fighting and kata. Mm-hmm. But I realized at 60, my body couldn't take being punched yeah. and kicked anymore. So I fell in love with jiu-jitsu. You know, I fought Royce Gracie at UFC 4 when mm-hmm. I was 51. He was 26. And that 5 minutes was the longest 5 minutes I've ever spent in any ring or octagon or anything. And I just fell in love with the attitude and the freshness of down, ground fighting.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, but still, that's awfully wearing on the muscles and the joints.
It certainly is, but it teaches you how to relax. And, you know, I used to be so paranoid about someone mounting me or being on the yeah. top, and now I love when they mount me. You know, I just sweep or take
it's
them over.
And
yeah,
it's
a trap. Yeah, it's so wonderful. It's the highlight of my day going to jiu-jitsu.
Oh, wow.
And Helson Gracie is, he's the man.
He's the man.
He's the man. I watch him roll. 20 people in a row, he doesn't even sweat. I'm sweating like a pig in 5 minutes. And, you know, normally I do 6 to 8 rounds.
Yeah.
Those are 6 to 8 minute rounds.
Yeah.
And so when you, and there's no break in between. You go one guy to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next guy. And for, I was a white belt 2 years. I was a blue belt 4 years. I just made purple belt
wow.
after 9 years in total.
I'm guessing that a lot of that, what Gracie can do is inner energy.
Oh,
that's
it's,
why he doesn't sweat.
It's more internal than anything
yeah.
else.
Not
and,
muscles.
And what they do is they play you so tight that they leave you no room to do anything.
Right.
There's no, you know, if you leave them 2 inches, they take up 2.5 inches. You know,
mm-hmm.
they put that pressure against your chest and on your ribs. It's you know, those cross-eyed things or those mounting things are just
oh,
they're lethal.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
lethal.
It makes and, me and happy. I'm not a martial artist.
I finally become comfortable with being on the bottom. And it was scary at
yeah.
the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I'd have a 260-pound guy on my chest. And you can't punch or kick. There's no striking at all.
No.
So it was frustrating.
Yes.
For at least 2 years. Automatically, I wanted to elbow a knee or something.
Yeah.
And you can't. It's
got to find a new way.
It's amazing
yeah.
what you can do once you calm down and you really, you know, now when people take me down, I roll with a 6'4", 280-pound, 23-year-old kid
yep.
Monday.
Yep.
Double leg takedown, he slammed me down like you turn over flapjacks,
ooh,
you know,
man.
My neck, my back, everything. And then he couldn't finish me. He ran out of gas in about 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally creeped up and I got him with the Kimura. You know, it's a shoulder lock.
Yeah.
And it was just great to...
You know, I always say I don't need drugs because I learn things. That gives me Rushmore than anything else.
It is the most amazing thing. I think I'm even more enthusiastic about the BJJ than I was about the Kung Fu and Karate.
Really?
Because now that I'm older, a lot of stuff that I was taught...
Mm-hmm.
Isn't really functional for the street.
Yes.
And the BJJ, even though some of it is more competitively engaged,
yeah.
It's really self-defense practical.
When we come to Hawaii to mm-hmm. visit you, I will find you a Tai Chi and Qigong teacher who makes it practical for the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'll teach you.
It's important that it's practical.
Yes.
You can't waste time now with stuff that is not... utilitarian.
Yeah, I start my seminars by saying I'm not interested in how tough you are. I'm interested in how smart you are.
Yes.
I'm not interested in how badass you are. And
yes.
really, shouldn't you go for good ass?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
interested in how effective you are.
Yes.
And that takes a certain amount of knowledge. My problem with teachers is they have limited knowledge. They've been taught by their teacher.
Yeah, and it's limited.
Exactly.
It's truly limited.
We'll talk, mm-hmm. but outside of this, mm-hmm. let's get back to movies.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go from just awesome gymnast and a martial artist to the movies and in Hong Kong as an African-American of all things?
I was really lucky. I went to a casting call in 1973
uh-huh.
at Seraphim Carol Lexus, the man that brought the Five Fingers of Death to America.
So why did you do that? Were you always loved movies or television?
Sense of Urban got me into the Chinese movies and into the Zatoichi and you know, those Chen Sing and Wang Yu and all those guys.
Early 70s.
And I casted for this film, The Black Dragon, and they hired me, and it was Yo Ban Yi from Yangtze Films. Mm-hmm. And he's a Shaw Brothers component.
Right.
He found me, and he casted me for The Black Dragon, and I did a 5-film deal with him. So I moved to Hong Kong. I stayed there 10 years. I worked on about 40 films there. I worked for Shaw Brothers. I worked for Golden Harvest. I worked for all those companies. I was always a bad guy with mustaches and shaved my head off. And so, you know, I was really...
You just say, like, that's the most natural thing in the world. It's like, but that's so incredibly unusual.
I was actually the first foreigner to star.
Why Lo?
The first foreigner to star in Hong Kong kung fu films. It was wild, you know?
So were they racist?
You know, I don't consider them racist. I think that the Chinese believe in the Chinese, and I don't consider that racism. There's nothing but Chinese people there.
Yeah.
So if you're different and you're talented, they accept you.
Right.
But if you're just different and you're just a Guaylo,
exactly.
You know,
they
don't know who you are.
Yeah, it's not like black Guaylo or white Guaylo or red Guaylo.
Well, actually, it's Hakwai or Guaylo.
Hakwai,
Hakwai.
Poor Vincent Lin was Chop Chung, which is the half-breed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm sorry to digress, but I was in an elevator with the guys from Ocean Shores who did all the videos at that time. And they just, on the elevator trip, they said, this is who we hate. This is, the Filipinos hate the Vietnamese. The tagline, the joke line was, and everybody hates the Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, really? Asians hate Asians?
No.
Yeah, we do. But they don't hate African-Americans.
Yeah. It's quite interesting.
They learned.
I learned a lot in Hong Kong. I lived there 10 years. I lived in the New Territories.
Oh, wow.
And I had a wonderful time there.
Mm-hmm.
I was accepted. I became a member of the Changhua Association.
Sure.
And I was one of the first non-Asians to be on the board. And they made me the director to the United States on Kung Fu. And I got a chance to really do a lot of different forms. I studied with the Monkey King. I did some monkey stuff. Cheng Guantai, those guys were my friends.
Oh,
and,
man.
Alex Fusheng, he was a good friend of mine. I was in Hong Kong when Bruce died. I had been with him 2 days before he died. We were smoking some weed together. And Alex called me and said that Bruce died. And I thought he was like pulling my leg.
Yeah, everybody
did. And Carter Wong called me. I said, holy shit.
Yeah.
Really, he's dead, you know? And so, you know, I went to the funeral, and it's very sad.
No, it's extremely sad.
Too young.
Yeah.
You know, and...
I'm just checking this because I wanted to know if that was you beeping or me jeeping. No, that was you beeping. Okay, good. So, were you involved in the movies other than a performer? Were you able to do any of the choreography?
My second film, I was the choreographer.
Yeah, which one was that?
The Death of Bruce Lee.
Oh.
We actually wrote that on a plane going to Hong Kong.
Holy mackerel. Who's
you know,
we?
Sarah from Carol Lexus and myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wow. So you did the
It was an idea that we had, and we just fleshed it out and wrote scenes every day.
I've heard stories about that era where it was kind of like, let's just go make movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it was like?
And, you know, we shot that in, 3 weeks?
Yeah. Did you shoot in Hong Kong? Did you head
We shot to... in Hong Kong. We shot in New Territories. We shot in Macau.
Okay.
Hold on. Miss?
Yeah, I'm looking for the showcase.
Over there. Around the corner.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I had the chance to meet a lot of the Kung Fu stars that were my heroes.
Yeah.
I met Angela Mao Ying, and I mean, when we were young,
yeah, right.
You know?
You don't look any different, by the way, Ron.
It was a fascinating time for me living in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah, fascinating.
10 years.
Yeah.
Oof. And what other can you name any? I mean, I have so many questions. I mean, 40 film, 100 films. How many?
Oh, I did 60 in Hong Kong.
60. Jeez. Yeah. Any memories or stories come immediately to mind?
I worked on a film called the. Black Dragon of Shaolin and for Shaw Brothers, and it was one of those period pieces.
Yeah, well, sure.
You know, with the costumes.
Yeah, yeah.
I did three section staff and Iron Whip and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really, really nice.
Who's the choreographer on that? Tang Chia?
No.
I'm sorry about that.
It's just so long ago.
Yeah, of course. It could be Sao Su?
One of the guys from Shaw Brothers.
Yeah, I know.
I can't think of his name.
Not important.
He actually worked for Roy Horan.
Oh, okay.
Roy, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. There you go. Oh, man.
Those were good days. You had a chance to be a villain.
Yeah.
I got killed a lot of times.
You got killed a lot.
You know, the black guy was always the bad.
Yeah, of course.
Except in
your movies.
Yeah.
Where you were the hero. You did 10 Black Dragon?
I did 10 Black Dragon films.
What was the last one, you remember?
The last one was Kung Fu Fever.
Oh, Kung Fu Fever. Just so awesome.
Yeah.
So what did you think? I mean, did it just play out? Was it just not getting any more calls? Or did you just homesick, maybe?
I got homesick.
Yeah.
My wife died in Hong Kong.
I'm so sorry.
And I moved back to the mainland, to the world, and got into traditional TV stuff. I was on Oz for 4 years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I was Saeed's cellmate on that show.
I didn't watch the show.
For 4 years.
I would have noticed you.
And, you know, I worked on Ryan's Hope for 5 years. I was the bartender at the Crystal Palace.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I did a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's great.
Mm. Yeah. And it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
You still do it?
I was the host for the Black Belt Kung Fu Theater.
What channel?
I did on Channel 5.
Were?
I did that for, 4 or 5 years.
I was involved with World North all crazy.
Yeah.
But I thought I would, again, I don't know how I didn't notice you. Mm-hmm. That's really weird.
Yeah,
because I've seen all of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they offered me all 106 films in 35mm form, and I had no place to put them and nowhere to move them.
Yeah.
So, you know, wow, that's amazing. So how did that all, are you still going?
And, I'm actually getting ready to do another film. I did a film a year ago called Hot Lead and Hard Fury. Out in Denver, Colorado. It's a shoot 'em up movie.
Right.
Shooting with two Uzis and it's a real shoot 'em up movie.
Yeah.
And I'm a good guy that gets killed. I get shot in the face
with
a shotgun at the end, toward the middle of the movie.
Yeah, the African,
and
you always have
and
to
the,
die first.
The prosthetics were amazing.
Ooh.
4 hours in makeup. Shotgun in the face, so it blew my ear off, my nose off, my eyeball came out. I mean, it was really some. I showed my 11-year-old son, and he said, "Ooh, daddy," you know. And it was really amazing what they can do now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was all electronic. They hit a button, and my face blows
off.
I mean, it was like, wow.
But they took 4 hours to put it on first before they took a second to blow it off.
I just finished the documentary, The Hangman. Which is an adaptation of my book, The Hangman, and Netflix is going to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I made the deal about a week ago, and I'm just excited about that.
When did you move to Hawaii?
I moved to Hawaii 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I lived in St. Thomas for 10 years. And before that, 6 years as police commissioner in the Cayman Islands.
What?
Yeah.
Is Death in Paradise based on you?
I've been living in a tropical kind of thing for the past 22 years. That's why I came here. I'm just freezing my butt off. It's terrible.
We're in New York right now, everybody. We're at the 2017 Urban Action Showcase. Oh, man,
it's like 26 degrees.
Yes.
It's just horrible.
It'll be better.
It was 85 when I left home. You know, I took my 3-mile swim, which I take 3 days a week. And then I come here, it's like, holy cow. Yeah, but I'm really happy about the documentary that Netflix
really
wants to do.
That's awesome.
And I'll send you a copy when
I get
the DVDs.
Yeah.
And I'm negotiating now a deal to have it done as a feature film. So I'm halfway in.
Yeah.
Got my fingers crossed. You know how those deals go.
I know how that
they just optioned. Warner Brothers just optioned my book, and you never know. RZA called me. He wants to direct. You know
who did?
Is RZA?
RZA
from the Wu-Tang Clan.
All right, I won't say anything.
So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
That he showed that much interest in it. And
RZA has great heart.
He hooked me up with Quentin Tarantino.
Of course.
So who wants to write the screenplay?
No, that's not
the adaptation. So it's slow, but it's moving.
It's moving.
It's actually moving.
That's always matters.
I'm about 3 days left in post production to finish my documentary.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And then I give that to Netflix.
Yeah.
They're
going to
air that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see if that gives me a little
more
weight for the feature.
Do you teach martial arts then?
I have not taught in about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just training in the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Right.
You know, I fought Royce Gracie in 1994 when I was 51. He was 26. I fought him at UFC 4. Longest 5 minutes I ever had in any ring.
Mm.
And at that time, I realized that my stand-up game was good,
mm-hmm.
but my ground game was horrible. So I decided that I would invest the next 10 or 20 years
getting
my ground game together. And it's been 9 years so far, and it's not together yet. I'm purple belt.
What do you attribute your remarkable mind power that gets you to make these decisions and follow through on them? What do you attribute that?
How can we stop now? It's too late.
Well, how did you start? How did it start? That's what I'm always interested in.
You know, because
you've seen people, they sabotage themselves, and they're self-defeating,
yes.
and
you know, when I lost the horse, everyone said, oh, he lost the horse, Gracie, he got his ass kicked, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I looked at that as a great opportunity for me to round my training up and really become 360.
Yeah.
You know, and so I decided that I would train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I started with Joe Moreira.
Yeah.
And then I trained. Oops.
Oh, that's good.
We'll be back in a second, folks.
Oh, Debbie. This is stunt lady.
Oh, yes, I know Debbie.
Debbie Gregg.
Yep.
Oh, she's here. All right. Woman.
I know.
I
worked
with her on the Werewolf movie with Jack Nicholson.
Michelle Pfeiffer's
stunt double.
Stunt double, yep, that's right. I'm supposed to talk to her later, and hopefully you'll hear that, because last year we didn't. But anyway, so you told us the past, you told us the future, you told us the present. Is there anything you want to leave the listeners with?
I'm trying to really finish formalizing this...
the movie.
The feature.
Yeah.
And the screenplay has been finished already. So we're now... in pre-production.
Right.
They're looking for a director.
But if you could tell the people out there anything to maybe help them so they can lead an amazing life like
you know,
had, what could you tell?
Dream big.
There you go.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And never, ever, ever quit.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what it's all about. You can't quit on your dreams.
And you can't quit, period, until it stops, and even then it doesn't stop, so don't worry.
Thank you so much, Rick.
My pleasure.
So much respect and admiration for you.
Right back at you.
Yeah.
I have a sign-off, which is now a double sign-off.
Okay.
I'm going to say something, and after I say that, I want you to lean in and just whisper, chew your food, Rick.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Use your blinkers, jackass.
Chew your food, Rick.
Thank you.
Okay, break it up, break it up. For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more Film Fun, Frenzy, and Friends. Until then, check out actionfilmautopsy.com, where the excitement never ends.
It's all in just a dream.